If there's one thing that's on the minds of individuals today, it is Christmas, the religious holiday or celebration of the birth of Christ. If you're listening to me this morning, you are very familiar with that man-made religious tradition. Recently, I saw where 93% of Americans celebrate Christmas in some form or another. I was pretty much aware of that a large number would. But what is also interesting is, and it has given me the thought for the Let the Bible Speak program this morning, only 50 to 60% of Americans polled commit their life to following Jesus on a daily basis. 93% of Americans celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ. Only 50 to 60% of Americans actually commit to being Jesus' disciple. He is their Lord and Savior, and they're going to follow Him and His Word. What that tells me, friends, is that Jesus, to many people, is kind of like a celebrity, kind of like an American icon, where one day a year, on December the 25th, people think about Him, sing about Him, their songs with Jesus in it, and they will give gifts, and they will have all the Christmas traditions that go along with that, and they give some attention to Jesus one day out of the year. But the rest of the year, they're certainly not going to think about Him until December the 25th rolls around again the following year. This morning, friends, I want to talk about Jesus is not a holiday. And so I'm glad that you're with us. And I hope that you will study along with us today. We're going to have several Bible readings today. And I hope that it will help us to understand that we need to be committed to Jesus each and every day to follow Him and obey Him. Know His Word. Hear His Word. Put it into practice in our lives. Now, over the past few weeks, I have been looking at the biblical doctrine of creation. We're going to suspend that for today. And Lord willing, I will come back to that on the first Sunday of the new year. We will come back to the biblical doctrine of creation and look at some more things there. But today, I just simply want to talk about how that Jesus is not a holiday. Jesus is the divine Son of God who walked the earth some 2,000 years ago. He was born, and it's certainly good to think about that, and He lived and He died on a cross for the sins of all mankind. But He's not a holiday. He's the divine Son of God who wants to save us if we will come and obey Him, if we will be a follower of Him and be committed to Him on a daily basis. Jesus is not a holiday. And so, friends, I want to look at some statements this morning from Jesus. We're going to look at the Gospels. There are a number of places that I could turn to illustrate this. We could look at this a number of places in the New Testament where we don't simply need to give Jesus a passing thought but be committed to Him. But I've chosen simply to use Jesus' own words while He was here on the earth in the Gospels to remind us that Jesus Himself said that we have to have more than just a passing thought with Him. We have to commit our lives to following Him. There are many people today who are celebrating the birth of Christ, and they might talk about it or sing about it or think about it, and they have no intention of actually obeying Him each and every day. So to them, Jesus has become a one-day-a-year holiday. But that's not what He is. That's not who He is. And I want to remind us of that. Now, this morning, I will not take time on the Let the Bible Speak program to talk about how that Christmas is a man-made celebration that came long after the New Testament. New Testament Christians did not celebrate Christmas. That may come as a surprise. Even the Catholic Church admits that. In their Catholic Encyclopedia Online, they say, quote, Christmas was not among the earliest earliest festivals of the church, end quote. They even admit that. I'm not going to take time this morning to talk about how that Christmas is a man-made celebration. And it wasn't until about 354 AD that December the 25th was chosen as the birth of Christ. So all of these things are man-made. They're not in the New Testament. New Testament Christians did not do those things. We certainly need to think about the birth of Christ. Nothing wrong with that. But as far as a memorial is concerned, each Sunday, Acts chapter 20 and 7, New Testament Christians remember the death of Christ. But the birth of Christ as a religious holiday is without New Testament authority. It's a man-made religious holiday. Now, having said that, my talk this morning is not about that. We're not going to go into the history of that and the discussion of all of that. But I just wanted to briefly mention that. What I want to talk about is that Jesus wants us to commit to Him. So we're going to look at several Bible passages. And I want to begin at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Himself in His own words. Friends, if Jesus is just a one-day holiday for you, let me encourage you to do much more than that. We are to be a church of Christ, a church belonging to Christ, a people that have been called out of the world, and we follow and obey Jesus Christ each and every day, 365 days out of the year, not just December the 25th. Are we giving some passing thought to Jesus? But in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, let's look at several passages. And this morning, I've selected a few from each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus said, "Everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and smote upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof." Now Jesus had just finished, these are the last words of Jesus in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And so these words are the words that Jesus had just preached there. And He said that you are wise if you hear and do them. You are not wise, you're foolish, if you hear and do not do them. Notice that Jesus said we have to hear and do His words. Like I said, 93% of Americans celebrate Christmas, but only 50 to 60% of them, and the reason that there is a difference there between 50 and 60, it depends upon the age group of the individuals that were being surveyed at the time. 50% would be younger people, 60% would be those who are a little bit older. But why is there a wide gap of over 30% between celebrating Christmas and actually committing to Jesus? Because there's a lot of folks that don't want to hear Jesus' words. They don't read their Bibles each and every day. They don't know what Jesus has said, let alone doing what Jesus has said. Do you read your Bible, friend? Do you read what Jesus said? Do you even know that? Well, I celebrate Christmas. Well, I'm glad that people think about the birth of Christ. The religious holiday itself is without scriptural basis, but I'm glad people think about Jesus. But Jesus is not just a holiday. We have to hear His words and do them. Here's another Bible passage in Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus sent out the 12 to preach the gospel. We find in chapter 10 and verse 34, He told them, "Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." And right before that, He said, "Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father who is in heaven." We've got to confess Jesus. That's not just simply saying, "I believe Jesus," but in this context, it is standing up for Jesus, siding with Him, obeying Him, being a follower with Him. And if we undergo any kind of persecution, be willing to confess Him before men and stand with Him, even if it means being hurt by others. Are you willing to do that? Or is Jesus just a holiday? In Matthew chapter 11, the very next chapter, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The invitation to come to Jesus, notice a couple of things here. He says in verse 29, "Learn of me." Are you learning what Jesus teaches? And then he says, "Take my yoke upon you." A yoke is a figure of work. To work together with Jesus. To do some things together that must be done in obedience to him and carrying out his will on the earth. That's much more than what we see people doing today. Let's look at another example in Matthew. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Jesus said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it." Follow me. You get the idea that being a Christian or having some relationship to Jesus is much more than a Christmas tree and lights and a manger scene out in the front yard, and then you put it back in the attic for a while and you take down all of the lights and you take down all of the blow-up figures and you put them in storage and then you bring them out after, next year after Thanksgiving, bring them out and put them out in the yard again. 93% of Americans in some way celebrate Christmas, whether they go all out or whether it's just small things or somewhere in between. But that same percentage will not follow Jesus. They will not deny themselves. There's a whole world that is selfish and they're putting themselves first. And Jesus said also to take up his cross, a symbol of crucifixion and pain and suffering, in order to follow Jesus. No, they won't do that. I'm reminding us, friends, of Jesus' own words. Jesus never said, "Have a religious holiday remembering my birth." He never said that, not one time. But he said over and over again these other things that we're reading. Very, very important. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, and he asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "If you would be perfect," verse 21, or complete, he had already been following the old law, "if you would be complete, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. So he didn't want to give up what he had to give to the poor, and he didn't want to come follow Jesus. One other passage in Matthew before we move on to the other Gospels. In Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus is explaining the end of time, he's going to sit as a king on a throne, and he's going to judge the world, the second coming of Christ, and the judgment of all mankind. And he talks about how that the crowd is going to be separated on the right hand and on the left, and the righteous are going to be on the right hand. And it's because they gave to Jesus. And they say to Jesus, "Well, when did we see you hungry and thirsty and a stranger? And when did we take you in?" And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40, "I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these my brethren, even the least, you did it unto me." So when you're going out and you are a Christian and you are helping others who belong to Christ, others who are in the family of Christ, "my brethren," he said, "you're doing it unto me, good works." And then those who don't go to heaven are those who don't go out and do it unto the others. "Insomuch as you did not unto one of these least, you did not unto me," verse 45. You get the point. There are other things that must be done in our service to Christ other than once a year having some mental thought about his birth. Turn with me now to Mark chapter 3. Now keep in mind as we go through the Gospels that many of these points that we've already made or that Jesus has already made are found in the parallel accounts in Mark and Luke and John. But we'll look at some other things. Look at Mark chapter 3, for example, in verse 31. Mark 3:31. And there come his mother and his brethren, and standing without, they sent unto him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting about him, and they say unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek thee. And he answered and said, Who is my mother and my brethren? He wasn't saying, I don't know who they literally are. He's making the point, this is my physical family, but who is my family? He's going to get them to think about being a spiritual family. And looking round on them, he said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. In other words, this crowd out here that I'm teaching, they're my mother, they're my brethren. Look at it. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and sister and mother. Oh, now it's about doing God's will if we're going to be in the spiritual family with Jesus. Absolutely. See, it's more than that. Do you even know what the will of God is? Do we know what the will of God is? The will of God is revealed on the pages of the New Testament, the will of God for us today. God's will for other people at other times has been revealed from Genesis down to Malachi, primarily the will of God for Israel. But the New Testament, the will of God for all mankind. From Matthew to Revelation, we've got to be reading that to know what that will is. And when we do that will. Jesus said, do it, verse 35. Not think about it. Not just simply hear it or read it. That's even better. But do it. Doing, obedience, very important. So that comes into play, and all of a sudden we're hearing from Jesus, wow, there's other things. And that's the reminder this morning. In Luke chapter 6, if you'll turn with me there, in Luke's account of Jesus preaching that parallels the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7, in Luke's account, this same point that Jesus is making about the wise man, you're wise if you hear my words and do them. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, he adds this point, however, And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And then he goes on to talk about the wise man and the foolish man, just like back in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 49, He that heareth and doeth not is like a man that built his house on the earth, the foolish man. But he that heareth and doeth them is like the wise man, verse 47. Hear and do not is the foolish man, verse 49. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Friends, a lot of people will say Jesus and Lord and all that kind of thing, but they're not doing his words. Biblical illiteracy is high in this nation. People do not read their Bibles. Younger generations are not reading their Bibles. And so, it's very important to understand these other things. Jesus is not a holiday. Jesus is the divine Son of God and the Savior of the world who wants us to follow him each and every day. And sometimes, each Sunday, each first day of the week, there are Sunday, first day of the week obligations in following Jesus. By the way, on that note, many people are thinking about Jesus today, but what about next Sunday? Well, I'm not going to think about him next Sunday. What's next Sunday? It's just another Sunday. It's not December the 25th, so why should I have to think about Jesus next Sunday? Well, next Sunday, the first Sunday of the year, is a first day of the week. And in Acts 20 and verse 7, New Testament Christians took the Lord's Supper each first day of the week. And there's many of them, right? 52 throughout the year, right? What are you going to be doing each Sunday in 2023? Well, I'm not going to do anything until next Christmas rolls around. We've got to change our thinking, if that's our thinking. Some might come on Easter Sunday. You might get another Sunday out of me later in the spring, but don't bother me until next December the 25th rolls around. And around that time, I'll be thinking about Jesus. Friends, I want to encourage you to change your thinking on that. Jesus himself would want you to change your thinking on that. Come with me now to Luke chapter 9, for example. Luke 9. Jesus said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Not December the 25th only. Daily follow me. "For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. What does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose or forfeit his own self? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Friends, there are people who are ashamed of Jesus' words that are found not only in the Gospels but in all of the New Testament. Later in chapter 9, Jesus said someone wanted to follow him. And Jesus said in verse 58, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the heaven have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But he," Jesus, "said unto him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. Go thou and publish abroad the kingdom of God." Oh, there's things that we need to do when we follow Jesus. We have other responsibilities, like publishing God's word to others. Absolutely. There's a lot of people who celebrate Christmas and they don't even know anything about these things. We've got to change your thinking. Another said to Jesus, "I will follow thee, Lord, but first suffer me to bid farewell." Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." In John chapter 3, let's come now to John. We've looked at Matthew, we've looked at Mark, we've looked at Luke. Let's look at John. Again, looking at Jesus' own words. What would Jesus say to the only 50 or 60%, the rest, the 40% who are not following him? What would Jesus say to them? He would say these things. And even the 50 to 60% who are claiming to follow Jesus, when you look at their personal lives, they're not following him the way Jesus would want. So we're learning from Jesus' own words the kind of approach we need to take toward him. It's not the secular holiday approach. It's not the money and the lights and the holiday. It's the daily discipleship commitment to him. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, one of the well-known verses of the New Testament, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life." We have to believe on Jesus. And we know from the rest of Scripture that that's not just some passing thought about his birth. It's obedience to him. In the same chapter at the very end, John chapter 3 and verse 35, "The Father loves the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life." Look at this. "But he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." He that obeys not the Son. S-O-N. We've got to obey Jesus. And in the very same chapter, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, Jesus said, "Except you be born of water," this is water baptism, "and the Spirit," the Spirit's words, obeying those words, "you cannot enter into the kingdom of God." There are all kinds of individuals celebrating Christmas and the birth of Christ, and they have not been baptized scripturally for the remission of their sins into Christ. They have not obeyed Christ. "He that obeys not the Son shall not see life." That's that spiritual eternal life. You won't see it in the sense of experiencing it. You've got to obey Jesus, friends. In John chapter 6, if you want to come with me there, Jesus had been talking about discipleship and following him and what is necessary to that. We don't have time to read the whole chapter. But in John chapter 6 and verse 66, upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They didn't want to daily follow and learn and obey him. Jesus said to the 12, "Would you also go away?" Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast words of eternal life." They didn't want to walk with Jesus anymore. Earlier in the chapter, many of them had showed up because he had fed the 5,000. And the previous day, and on the next day, they find him. They want to follow him more because he had been feeding them. But in the interim, he teaches them important lessons about discipleship. It's not just about getting a free food handout. I want you to follow me. I am bread from heaven, and I want you to follow me. And when he got done with that, many didn't want to walk with him anymore. They didn't want the demands of discipleship. They wanted the free food. And so Jesus has a way of separating those who really want to follow him and those who don't. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus therefore said to Jews that had believed him, well, that's a start, that's good. "If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples," or disciples indeed. You have to remain in Jesus' words. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When you abide in his words, you are truly his disciples, and then the truth sets you free. Friend, do you even know the words of Jesus to abide in them? You see, there's much more. Jesus is not a holiday. In John chapter 10 and verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." We've got to go through Jesus to be saved. There are many, many other passages that we could look at in John. We don't even have time to look at all of them. In chapter 13, "I have given you an example that you should follow." In John chapter 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Chapter 15 and verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love." Over and over and over again, we begin to see the commandments and the conditions and the teaching and the following and the discipleship. This is what being a follower of Jesus is all about. This is what Jesus wants. He doesn't want, friends, a passing thought about his birth. He doesn't want a holiday. He doesn't want all of this that goes on today in the name of Christmas. He wants daily service and obedience. That's the harder thing, obviously, but that's the thing that leads to eternal life. Obedience to Jesus each and every day. That's how we have eternal life now and in heaven to come. Friend, that's what I want for you. Yes, it will be a drastic change in thinking, but it'll be so well worth it. Let me help you to do that in this new year to come. Please contact us. Thank you for being with us on the program, and have a good day.